let's very quickly sort of review what we did yesterday, just so that we can get the full context, and then we'll continue moving on. Not sure how much everybody got there this morning. I do know that we left off at the kasha of the Gemara without seeing the answers of the Gemara. That was done on purpose. We will, A, because there's not so much time on Tuesdays, and B, because each one needs to be understood on its own. The Gemara will give, or will offer, several answers to the question that it posed, and understanding those answers will finally, hopefully, give us some light into understanding really what this halacha is all about. So we saw the Mishnah on Daled Beis. The Mishnah had said, "Hamakiv es chaver mishalosh v'chusav v'gadar sari shoyne v'sashne v'sashlichis imechay v'noso." So if you have somebody who is surrounding somebody else on three sides, and he puts fences around three of the sides, then we don't obligate the person in the middle, the nikaf, as we will call him. He's not obligated to pay. And the basic questions that we were trying to figure out yesterday was, where are these fences being built? What type of field are we dealing with in terms of, is there any obligation to put up a fence? What happens if the makif builds the fourth wall? What happens if the nikaf builds the fourth wall? Meaning, Rav Yossi tells us what happens if the nikaf builds it, well, presumably. Well, that's part of the question as well, right? What exactly is, what's Rav Yossi teaching us? What's the machlokas between Rav Yossi and the Tana Kama? And is there any, what's the chiddush of each? So between two and three approaches in the Rishonim. Right, we saw that Rashi understands, again, if you combine our Rashi with the Rashi in Bava Kamma, and they do seem to work well together. Now we're talking about the inner fences, right? The inner fences. So again, just to make sure that we have the full picture. So we have the makif on three sides. Right, the nikaf is the guy here in the middle. According to Rashi, the fences are here on the inside. Rashi also told us that we're talking about a stambika, and we know that a stambika is a makom shelo nahagu ligdor. And again, it made it seem that the issue at hand is an issue of hezek ri'iyah, and that's what our discussion is about. Tosos in Bava Kamma and some of the other Rishonim over here, they learned that, again, it's the nikaf is here, they learned that the mechitzas that we are talking about, right, are out here, the outer mechitzos. Right? And the assumption was that they are also talking about a makum shelo nahagu ligdor. Again, how Tosos prove that based on the Gemara of Kamma is a little bit beyond what we're going to do right now. We discussed that yesterday. If it's setting it up, and the assumption is that we're talking about a makum shelo nahagu, then it still sounds like the issue at hand is hezek ri'iyah, because that's the only issue that we know of that has a potential chiyuv to build a kosel or not to build a kosel. So what would be the hezek ri'iyah benefit here? So we saw that some of the Rishonim explained that at least you have minimized hezek ri'iyah. You don't have full protection of hezek ri'iyah because the makif can still be mazik you, but you are cut off from the mishus harabim. Right? Good. Did we see Rabbeinu Yehonasan? No, we left both of them hanging. Okay, fine. So let's get to the Baha Ma'ar and then to Rabbeinu Yehonasan. So says the Baha Ma'ar like this. We started seeing the Baha Ma'ar a little bit. Again, back to the Gemara. Says the Ba'al HaMa'or. Oh. HaMa'akim Tzchalim Yerushal 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 Perish. Kigon Shegadar HaChitzon. That the outer person, by Shehu HaMakif, that is the Makif, Beino Vein HaPnimi HaNikaf. So the Ba'al HaMa'or told us that the walls that he is discussing is the what we've been calling the inner walls, right? Like Rashi, which again is probably the way every single one of us learned the Mishnah until Tosfos came along, right? That is what we would call the Pashtus. That's the simple. That's a simple understanding. So he learns like Rashi. They were talking about the inner walls of Gesundheit. However, ubimakum shenagu ligdar bebeka. Wow, that is surprising, and that is new. Right, the Ba'al HaMa'or says, but we're talking about a situation in which one is obligated to build between the bikos. Why? Because that is the minhag, and we saw the Mishnah taught us that if it's a stam bika or a bika shelo nahagu, you don't build it. But if it's a makom shenahagu, live no sin bika, then you do have to build it. And that is shocking. Why is that shocking? Because until now, as long as we were talking about a situation in which there was no chiyuv, so then the chiddush is why suddenly do I have to pay when there's four? When there's only three walls up, I get that I don't have to pay because there's no. Why should I pay anything? Right? Meaning the direction of the chiddush until now has been why should I pay? Now, according to the Ba'al HaMa'or, we're going to have to explain in the opposite direction. Why are you not obligated to pay for the three? It's a makom shenra. We're talking about, according to the Ba'al HaMa'or, we're talking about this situation. But according to the Ba'al HaMa'or, right, it's a makom shenagu. So that means that if I would knock on your door, Mr. Nikov, and I would say, let's build a wall to prevent hazigriya between us. And you would say no, I would be able to force you in Beis Din. Right? That's Bababasa Beis of an Aleph. That's exactly right, the same way as in a chutzar I can. So why on the face of planet Earth is the chiddush of the Tanakhama true? Why should it be true according to Ba'al HaMa'or that if it's the Rishona, Shi, and Shlishis, you don't have to pay? You should have to pay not just for the Rebbeis, not just Megalgin and Lovis HaKol. As soon as you put it up, you should have to pay. That is, and that's probably the reason why everybody else didn't learn that way. Everybody else was trying to avoid this. Because this is, again, on the surface, a problematic Shita. Right? That's the part that we need to, again, the Ba'al HaMa'or knows this. He's not stupid. He's going to explain it to us. But that's the issue that now that we've thrown in a new factor of Makom Shenagu the Ligdor Rebikav into the equation that now we need to understand. Right? Shouldn't he be chayit even on the first three walls? So says the Ba'al HaMa'or, two points. Let's look inside. So he gets right to the crux of the issue. So what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? I mean, the Chiddush Mishnah that you don't have to pay. But what's the explanation for that chiddush? Right? Obviously, there's now a huge chiddush in the Mishnah that you don't have to pay. Why is that true? V'komashma b'maznisin she'ei mechayv in also l'gdor beino uvein chavero ad she'yishomor me'aba ruchoso. Gesundheit. Klomer she'lo yei parutz l'rishus harabim. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that you can't obligate this guy to pay until he's going to be fully protected. And right now, his bottom side is open to the Rishus HaRabim. Okay. That obviously needs to still be explained. That's still a surprising statement. Masha Ein Kein B'Chatzer. So he says, I know what you're going to tell me. There's no way that's true in a Chatzer. So what's the difference in the chatzar and bika? What I gain by saying this is bika? Mashen gain bechatzar shemechayv nosel bechol inyan livnos kol sabem. So you always have to build it in the middle. Even if it's still open, stam chatzer asuya litznios livnos lakos lime abar ruchoseha. A chatzer always gets full. Always, it's normal that it should be fully enclosed. It's normal that it should be fully enclosed because you do more private things in a chatzer, right? So that means that it fine in a chatzer. Many leave it open to the rishus harabim. Okay, but isn't it a makom shenahagu ligdar? So, right, he's trying to straddle both sides of the fence. V'yafa pishu makom shenahagu ligdar v'neyem mishum shasa l'adam shamna tichaver b'shah shomens b'kamasa afilu achim mishum mishus harabim lo ichbos l'kulei hai she'ein derech b'nei adam she'yisaklu b'shus harabim v'yisaklu b'stei chavereyam. The whole Mishkabab that we just got presented in the Balamar. So what does the Balamar say? The Balamar says that if we're talking about a chatzer, if we're talking about a chatzer, then you would have to pay for the three walls, even if the fourth is still open. Why? Why? Because it's normal to fully cut off the... To fully separate the chatzer even from the rishus harabim, and therefore, it's going to be completed anyway. So I am helping you out by doing even the partial walls because they are. It's normal. It's expected that they are all going to go up, but in a bika, it's not the case. In a bika, I will not. Some people will still leave this open to the rishus harabim, and therefore, I'm not fully protected from the hezek ri'iya. And therefore, it's not guaranteed that I'm ever going to be putting up the walls. Isn't it a makom shenago ligdor in between them? Yes. So, how did he answer the question? Right, those were the kind of the facts that he said. But how did he answer the question? So, why am I not obligated to pay for these three walls if there is a chiyuv to pay for them? Right. It's a makom shenago ligdor when it comes to the three. So, what did his old shtickle Torah, right, help when it comes to explaining that I haven't really benefited from them because the fourth wall is going to remain open? Yeah.
Could the Rav go back for a quick second to talk about in regards to the bottom court?
Yeah.
The three walls that he does have to pay for, that's in regards to a chatzer. Or is that
the Balaam Ma'ar says that if we had the exact same, right, this setup over here, the Mishnah tells us you do not have to pay for the three, just for the three walls, even though it's a Makom Shenahagu Ligdor. The Balaam Ma'ar throws in that if this same setup existed by a chatzer, you would have to pay for the three walls even before the fourth. Even before the fourth. Because the level of tznius in the chatzer is higher, and therefore, the value of the partial hana is great, is the partial cutting it off is greater. But he still hasn't explained, but what about the bika? If I have a chiyuv, and what's the raya that I have a chiyuv? Because if I would knock on your door and would have told you beforehand that you have to do it, then I could have forced you. So why do I not have to pay for it now that it's already built? I basically took care of your chiyuv for you. So who cares about the svar that he's saying? Even by a bika, we should still be bothered. Right? And the Balmer knows this problem. So the Balmer now continues with the kicker. The ilu mitchila, and if from the beginning, what does the beginning mean? Prior to construction. Before putting up any walls, when they were just neighbors. The ilu mitchila tavo l'gdarima, we set them, build together with me. Everybody would agree I could take him to Beis Din and make him pay with me split 50-50. Like the Mishnah Beis Din Aleph. But because the makif jumped the gun, he decided to do it first. And he did it on his own. Now come, that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. I'll translate the words, but what does it still make sense out of them? Right? Says the Balmar, if from the beginning of the construction, the Makif would have told the Nikav, let's build together, he could have forced him, and he could have made him pay. Now that he put it up, he jumped the gun without asking him, he cannot force him. Unless he's fully protected with number four. With the fourth wall. What's the pshat? Why is there a difference between whether he asked it before or not? And once there is a difference, who cares if he puts up the fourth or not? Right? Balmor seems to be exceedingly difficult. Oh. So why didn't others learn like the Balamor? Right? The Chora, because these kashas are very, very strong. Oh. So the Ramban and the Mechamas over here. Asks. To skip the part. I'll just read the beginning. Amar HaKosev, right below. Amar HaKosev. Right. He's the writer, it's Ramban. Speaking of himself in the third person. Amar HaKosev. Yesh li lahashiv. I can respond. Im kein hechon ver geitza babakam arviyas mechayven azo shvamin azen enev zeno chasir chayev. This same case, again, even according to the Balamor's pshat, is still the subject of the Gemara in Baba Kama, which said that it's Zenene and Zevo Chaser, which means that the outer guy is not losing anything because of the inner guy. If the whole purpose of this wall has a Gria, why is it Zenene that he's not losing out on the outside? The only reason that I have to build a fence is because of you. Right? Because there's an obligation. So how's it Zenana? Yeah, you're Nana, the Nikav is Nana, but I certainly am Chatzar. We should be splitting the cost of this. And that seems to be the kasha that the Meiri asks as well, right? Which is that if if the obligation is because of Hezek Re'iyah, then basically, just to put in other terms, then the Makif is acting as a shliach for the Nikah. I took care of it for you. Okay, so we can debate if I did it a little bit more, but those are details. But the fundamental chiyuv, you should have to pay. So again, all of the Rishonim that argue in the Balamor, just don't understand, what's the Balamor talking about? So what's the Hezber for the Balamor?
So Rav Baruch Ber in the Birka Shmuel explains like this.
Again, it's interesting because it brings us back a little bit to some of the things that we have spoken about when it comes to Hezek Riga. And he explains that l'chora you have to say that according to the Baal HaMor, Hezek Riga is really an obligation being Adam l'makom. And not bein Adam l'chaveiro. Let me explain. We've been discussing for the most part until now that Hezek Re'iyah is basically an obligation between neighbors. It's an obligation between neighbors. It's what I'm chayiv to you, you are chayiv to me. So he suggests that according to the Bala Mor, and again, otherwise it's very difficult to learn Pshat, as Mechudish as this is, according to the Bala Mor, the Pshat is like this. There is an Isser for me to be Mazik you in any way, shape, or form, including Hezekriya. And therefore, so long as we are in a situation which is a Hezekriya situation, we each have a Chiyuv to God. Right? It's not a chiyuv to you. I have a chiyuv to make sure that I am not mazik you. You have a chiyuv to make sure that you are not mazik me. And therefore, we each are a mechuyav to put up a fence. But if you put up a fence, I no longer have an obligation. Right? Because now, when you come to me, and the fence is already up and say, pay for it, so what am I paying for? What am I paying for? I only was chayiv when I was in a Hezekriya situation. Because of what you did, I'm no longer in a Hezekriya situation. I have no chiyuv anymore. You undermine the chiyuv by putting up the fence. So if you came to me from the beginning, then we're each are in the Hezekriya situation. We're each potentially damaging one another. We both have a chiyuv to God to put up the fence, to make sure that we don't violate that isser of being mazik. So if you come to me from the beginning and it's a Hezekriya situation, if they split it, so Bezin says, yeah, you have to split it because you both, you have an obligation and he has an obligation. How does that realize itself practically? In a 50-50 split. But once the Makif jumps the gun, and now the wall is up, now he turns to the Nikobez, now you have to pay. I don't have to pay. Right now I'm not in a Hezekriya situation because I did it for you. Okay. You decided to do it. And you decided to rid me of that obligation. You decided to rid me of that obligation. But that has nothing to do with Nothing to do with me anymore. Because again, you jumped in and decided to take care of it. Once the Makom on his own went, right, and both the fence, the Hezekriya situation has disappeared, right? There's no longer an obligation on the Nikaf. And the Rishonim that disagree are bothered by this exact point. No, it's a chiyuv between neighbors. It's been other mamakom, and therefore we are equal partners. And in this situation, if you went in and you did it for me, you basically were acting as my shaliach, and I have to pay you back. But that then becomes again a nekudas hamachlokas between them. Really hovers around this question of what is the nature of the obligation to put up a fence because of Hezekriya. Yeah?
Then why is the Negev now responsible if the Makif puts up the fourth wall?
Oh! Is that what you're going to ask also? So you'd have to say that when he puts up the fourth wall, he's going to be Chayiv not because of Hezekriya, it's going to be because of something else. There is this X factor that we don't understand yet. Right? You guys mentioned it yesterday. You threw out the term, maybe. I threw out the term also. We don't know what it means. But Rashi, you all threw it out because Rashi uses it, right? There is some term out there. Where do we see it in Rashi? What is it, Rashi? A second. It's not in Rashi. Thought there was a lashon in Rashi about nehana. There's no hanaya. Maybe it's in the Rashi, a piece from the Rashbam. I don't see it. Maybe it was in the Rashi. Maybe it was in Rashi Babakama. Rashi Babakama. There seems to be some sort of concept that once you were mahanami, then I have to pay for the hana. Maybe that has nothing to do with Hezekriya. But once now I'm closed off on four sides and I showed that I wanted it, there's some sort of benefit.
How do you show that you wanted it?
By putting, I put up the fourth wall.
I thought an armbar is giving the market for the
wall. Yeah, so
we have to see.
If he's still benefiting from the fourth wall, then how does this tie back into our Gemara and Bava Kamma, where you would have to pay for it?
Again, what's going to have to be true, which we don't fully understand yet, is that the obligation to pay when you put up the fourth wall is a different obligation. It's not because nothing to do with Hezekriya. It's going to have to do with the fact that if you laid out money and paid money and I was nana from it, and it's clear that I was nana from it, then I'm going to pay. How do we know that there's hana? So that's probably part of what the Balamor was talking about, which is that even if we're talking about a bikka, so not everybody closed off the fourth side. But if the fourth side is closed, there is a benefit. There is a benefit. So again, yes, you guys are 100% on target. You would have to say, according to this, that the chiyuv of the fourth wall has nothing to do with hezekriya, but it's this, whatever this new halacha is that we're going to have to decipher at some point, that there is another concept at play here of nehana, which again, it's an amorphous term for now, but that would be mechayev you. Good? Oh. So that's the pshat, perhaps. There's the fact, that's the sheet of the Balamor, and maybe that's the pshat in the Balamor. Oh. With that, let's go to Rabbeinu Yehonah's son. The fourth shita, and then we can move on a little bit. So it says Rabbeinu Yehonah's son. In the sheet of Mikvah, says, he says, Aval Rabbeinu Yehonah's son is up here, to be shasin, b'makam shenagu ligdor b'bdikahi. So he also says, right, he also says, like the Balamor, that we're talking about in Makom Shenahagu Ligdor, that the minhag is to, put up a fence between them. What detail does he change? He changes the fourth side. Hamakiv es chavero, klomar shekana ruvein arba sados. Arba sados. Right, so that's a different picture. Right, according to the picture that we're dealing with right now, right, is Nikaf is over here, and the Makif is surrounding. The Makif is surrounded on all sides. See. Makif is surrounding on all sides. The Gada Ruvein Beinov and Shimon min Hashalosh Ruchos. And between them, he built on three of the sides. Right? Hamakif v'eschavero Mishalosh Ruchosav is the three sides that he built on, right? V'niach ruach achas perutza beino vein Shimon, and he left open the fourth side between him and Shimon. V'chol sados of Sheruven perutzos lirishus harabim, and the outside of all the makif's fields are open to the rishus harabim. So right everywhere here. Everywhere here is Rishus HaRabim. And these are open. And only the X's are fences. Right? That's what he says. Oh. Uvimakom shenaga ligdei rebika veino uvein Rishus Chavero kaminan. And we're talking about a place that the minog is to build it before, between all of them. So now what? So if the Nikaf would go ahead, if the Makif would go ahead and build the, and close off the fourth side, so then he would have to pay for all four walls. For all four walls, and presumably it's split them evenly, because that's the Chiyuv, because they are what we would call Hezek Re'iyah walls. They are Hezek Re'iyah walls. So what's the significance about that he left the fourth side open? Is that he has not yet removed the Hezek Re'iyah. He has not yet removed the Hezek Re'iyah. He could have forced him to build. That's not concerning. Why not? Let's see a little bit more of Rabbeinu Yehonah's son.
If there was no minhag to build,
wow. But each one has like a chiddush that stands out. The chiddush here might be the opposite, right? If it was a makom shelo nahagu ligdor, and this exact same setup, and the makif put up all four, you would not have to pay. You would not have to pay.
Wouldn't that make more sense?
More sense than what?
He doesn't have to pay because he didn't have to put up the walls.
Okay. Maybe. So, right. If the only way you're going to get him to pay is because there's some sort of benefit to him, and he's going to say, well, I benefited you because now there's no hezek riya. He's going to say, that's not a benefit. What's the raya? Because nobody puts up walls for hezek riya. So I don't care about your hezek riya, so I don't have to pay anything. Good, yeah, that makes sense. What okay, but the makom shenagol l'gdar. But since it's a place where the minhag is to put up the fences, ilu ikiv miaber b'chosav ayus chayiv anikub b'din lasis l'chakom. But also gather b'liknos mimenu chatzim makom obiakosel. Oh, I gather shenizim b'shoches hushlo kulo. So if he's done all four sides of the bottom, you'd have to split it with him. Ubahal like a din of l'dayin of einar b'yosav in tanakam modu yavchalgo b'shalim mishalim. You'd have to pay the whole thing. Aval kipli, what's the machlokas? Heicha shall give a Reuven elam ishalos ruchos. Ukshetavu b'din yatsa zakai lefisha neyu adayin shayroim b'azem iruach rabbius ve'ein b'day delivnos rabbius le'olam. Mishum hachi patrina beizdin l'shimon hanikav. Ula'achar zman nimlach Reuven v'gadja b'lodaykos ha'shimon v'chazer v'tavu b'din pam shenis. So the Ben Yonasan sets it up as a much more complicated, scenario. That Lemaisa, until he has done enough to completely remove the Hezek Re'ia situation, I'm not obligated to pay anything for it. If we went from the beginning, okay, so then I would be obligated. But you yourself, by not putting up the fourth side, and he's setting up as a case where he's set like that for a long time, you haven't done anything to remove the Hezek Re'iyah situation. So I'm not obligated to pay for it. What did I do? Not obligated to pay for it. Why did Rishonim not want to learn like this? So again, here also, it's a bit of a chiddush to say that if they have an obligation, which if they would join, which they could force initially, that I'm not obligated to chip in along the way. It doesn't seem to be as extreme as the Balamor. It seems to be a little bit more of a technical point. But the fact that I have the opportunity on the fourth side, and I didn't do anything with it, shows that it's not about Hezek Re'iyah. If it's not about Hezek Re'iyah, and it didn't take care of Hezek Re'iyah, I am not going to be obligated to pay. Okay? So again, four different breakdowns of all the different factors that we have seen. Yeah?
Apologies, but if you repeat what the Chiddush of the Rebbe Yonasan is, I didn't look at the nuance.
He's trying to say that as long as he's on four sides, even if it's a makom shenagu ligdor, and he decides not to do anything with that fourth side, then he's not going to be obligated. He's not going to be obligated to pay, right? Since it's a makom shenagu ligdor, if he built them all, he would be obligated to pay. But until he builds them all, then the fact that he stopped and he could have done it, he's not going to be obligated to pay. The other chiddush which he says, which again, and this is probably his biggest taina on the other Rishonim, is that if it's a makom, if you learn like Rashi, that it's a makom shelo nahagu ligdor, so even if I build a fourth side, why am I obligated to pay? Why am I obligated to pay? So that was a little bit what we'll see, and as we go through the sugya, is that maybe the obligation to pay is not because of Hezek Re'iyah. Because I'll Hezek Re'iyah, why should I have to pay? Why should I have to pay because of Hezek Re'iyah? Hezek Re'iyah is not a real factor because of Malkum Shelo Nagu Ligdor. And that's kind of what that Rashbam that was you know, quoted in Rashi over there, says, okay, but there's something which can still be accomplished in terms of keeping out animals. There are other factors, there are other benefits which could accrue. But what's bothering the Shita B'Kuvetz, as remaining on the sun, is that if it's true that it's a Mokum Shalona Galindor, then it's not so simple that even building the foresight should be enough reason to obligate one to pay. Good? Okay. Let's start the Gemara a little bit. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda says, the name of Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. Halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. The Amar, who says, im amad v'gadar es harevius, if he got up and he built the fourth, megalgin alav es hakol. He has to pay for the entire thing. Lo shna amad nikaf, lo shna amad makif. So, two important points that Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel is saying. One is that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. And two is that it doesn't matter who builds the fourth wall. Whether it was the makif or whether it was the nikaf, he's going to be obligated to pay. Based on this Gemara, Tosfos points out, right, im amar v'gada es harevius, in the Mishnah, is lo garsina name amad nikaf. We don't have the gear so that it was specifically the nikaf. Dalakulish the Gemara, koi amakif. Or on Nami, right? That's the gear side. I mean, the point is that it's going on both. That's going to be clear in the Gemara. But again, Tosos determines what the appropriate gear is in the Mishnah based on his understanding of the Gemara. The Gemara Baba Kama has a different dig barakits at a regel time of the nikaf amakif pater hainu lahu lishna. That's only according to the specific law shown over there. Oh, says the Yad Rama. Actually, let's start with the Rashba. No, let's start with the Gemara. Let's start with the Gemara, and then we'll come back. Okay, let's see a little bit more of the Gemara. So, Itmar. Rav Huna says, Hakol lefi ma shegadar. Everything is according to what he actually built. Chir barab amar hakol lefi demei kanim bezol. It's according to the cheapest amount of reed that you could have used to put up the fence. Rashi, l'fima shegadar, v'chol yitzios shehotzi b'en arishon yachzir lo mechza. Meaning, you submit bills, you submit receipts. Whatever the makif paid for, once we're going to be in a situation where the nikaf has to pay, you find that it costs $10,000, they say $5,000, whatever he actually spent. That was Rav Huna. Chir Barab says Demei Kanim Zol. So Demei Kanim. Do Amar Leila Didi Sagli Begeder Kanim V'Yefshi Botzah Shal Geder Avonim. He could say, "You're right. I benefited from the fact that you put up a fence. But I never would have put up such an expensive fence, and therefore I only have to pay you for a cheap one." So says the Gemara, if somebody's surrounded from three sides, right? Our Mishnah said that if he put the fence on three sides, you're not going to be mechayev the nikaf. Haravis, but if he built the fourth, Mechayiv and Oso, then you would be Mechayiv, the Nikav to pay. Ema Seifa. So that's the Diak of the Resha. But the Seifa tells us, if Yosei Ramad Begad as Haravis, Megal Navasako. That if he got up and he put up the fourth wall, he has to pay for everything. So what's the machloka? So Bishlam on the Rav Huna, I understand according to Rav Huna, Damar Kolofi Masha Gadar, who said that Rav Yossi is talking about paying for the full price. Hainu Digum Tanakama Rav Yossi, that's the machloka. Tanakama Sarakovi Dmin Akanam Zol. I'm sorry, Tanakama Sarakovi Dmin in. Umasha Gadar Lobi Rav Yossi Sarakovi Masha Gadar. That the machlokas is, they both agree, the diak is correct. You do have to pay, according to both of them. But the amount that you're going to have to pay is going to be different. Rabbi Yossi says you have to pay for the actual expenses. And the Tanakhama says you only have to pay for the cheapest one, saying, I wouldn't have put up such an expensive one. But at least we have a machlokas. But if the pshat in Rabbi Yossi is that it's according to the cheap one? Ma'ika b'tanakam l'Rav Yossi. E d'mei kanim b'zolo k'yavli ma'ika yavli. What's less than d'mei kanim b'zol? What's less than d'mei kanim b'zol? Oh. So a few important points here. So one is, what is d'mei kanim b'zol? What is d'mei kanim b'zol? So Tosfos Yeshanim says, d'mei kanim b'zol, haynu pachos hashlish. You take off a third. So it sounds like you take the price of the kanim, and then if you were to get a deal on them, it would be a third cheaper than, I guess, whatever the standard price is. Okay, just in terms of what are we talking about over here? Oh. Says the Ran, Ravuna Marakolofi Mashagadar Klomar, Afilu gadar avanim ubeyoker. Even if you use very expensive stones. V'chia barav polegatar v'ayu, and chia barav argues on two. V'amar de'enu mashal me'edim ikanim ubezol. We just said, right? It's not just that the material, but the cheapest of that material. Ubehaka miflegi. What is their machlokas? The Rav Huna avile kisoda hasuya lita. Unitar shelo birshus, the shomen lo viyado al hal yoina. Chiyavarav, or like ilu ena siyul lekach, lufichach ena demas elikder sadei ubegeder avon nemed vinitur barzul de sagilei el kishemos tegan bezol omi vigoder osar. So the Ran, and we'll see another rishonos, are beginning to open up the sugya a little bit here, that there is some sort of parsha of what happens if I do something for somebody in their property. So one factor that the Ran is not telling us is, well, it depends on what it's omid for. Meaning, if I know that you have a wheat field, and you always plant wheat in your field, and your field is good for wheat, and you just haven't gone ahead and planted it yet, and I plant it for you, that is very different than if I know you have an open field, and I decide that your open field should be a wheat field. Who says that I want to make it into a wheat field? So if it's a suyilakach, then the taina of the person who wants to get paid back is greater than otherwise. Why do you have any right to do that? So that's not so simple. It's not so simple that you can just, you know, bust your way in and decide that you're going to do whatever you want. That you could do whatever you want. But again, it begins to open up the discussion in terms of when can you and when can you not be mechayev. Where'd it go? So, the... Yad Ramah tells us a different but important point. Right, so Mistabra, it makes sense, this is in Memhei, the Adkan lo pliyel hecha da'amad makif, the goddess haravias. This whole issue about who's getting up and building the fourth one is not such a simple thing, right? If the makif gets up and puts it up, so then right, then this machlok is about how much you're going to pay makes sense to lo gali nikaf adaite b'may nichalei. Because again, as long as the makif is putting up the last wall, we don't know what quality wall the nikaf really wanted. Meaning, what's preventing the nikaf from taking advantage of this opinion of Chiyah Barav and saying, yeah, you put up a nice fancy wall, but I'm not paying for the fancy wall. But if that's the wall that you wanted, and we're assuming that you have to pay for that which you want, why should he not have to pay for it? So again, if the makif puts up the fourth wall, so the nikav has never done anything to reveal in terms of we'll call it substance of the wall what he prefers. And if the only reason you're going to be chayiv is chayiv, mitayim the zeh nehneh v'zeh chaser v'lechudah v'chayiv, because he was nehneh. Abol hecha da'amad nikav. What if the nikav gets up, the goddess haravias, and he builds the fourth side? Kulei alamodu debasa umdin daite de nikav azlinan. You can look at the material that the nikav used on the fourth wall, and that's part of his gilui das. Right? If he uses a fancy substance, material, to build a wall, that's a gilui das. That's what I want. So why should he not have to pay for it? The gadol levias bebinyan, if he uses something of like a real bona of stones, gilui daite de nichle bekamaisa. So obviously, that's what he likes. Meaning, would Chiyah Barav say that in such a case, you don't have to pay for Kana if you show that you wanted the higher quality one? He says, that's crazy. So you should have built the last wall. You built the last wall with Kana, and then that shows that's what you wanted. Everybody should agree that when he's megala his das, that's what he should have to pay for. Right? It makes sense. Makes sense. However, the Shita Mekubetzes disagrees. He says something interesting. Umiyu, in the paragraph Umiyu, then there's an Umiyu within the Mihu. Miyu, Afim Godar Nika Bigvila Bagadis Kosha Godar Abishonim. Even if the Nikaf on the last side uses a fancy material, Lo Mashalik Eldme Kanim Bizol, he still only pays the last one. The cheaper material. Why? I'm happy with just a watchman. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But again, I'm willing to pay for a cheap wall. If you're only willing to pay for a cheap wall, why did he use an expensive stone? Fascinating tainos. Just because I used the same fancy material that you used in the first three walls doesn't mean that that's what I wanted. So why did he use it on the fourth wall? I would have been happy if all four were made out of kanim. El kibin shkar hukav shal shruchos begavil of gazis who tzrachti lahagib kanim vis begil begazis shelo yitachin nasos mechitza achas kanim etz mechitza shal gazis. Vigvil. It's pasnish. That's three fancy walls and a cheap wall. The interior decorator is not going to be happy. You can't have it in such a way. The adraba, atahu safli hotzosh elolut sorach. Since he can, the Nikaf even say to the Makif, I had to spend more money on the fourth wall because of you. I would have put up the Mekan and the Zol everywhere. But I had to put up a matching wall, because otherwise my wife was going to complain, how could you have the fourth wall not matching the other three walls? It's not going to look good. That's a valid taina. Again, it's not a strong enough taina, even though it's part of his taina. It's not a strong taina to say, you have to pay me for the extra expense of the mekanim on my fourth wall. That far he's not going. But on the three other walls, he can say, no, there's a legitimate reason. It's not a gilidas. I mean, the premise of the Yad Ramah was, and they might both agree to this. They might both agree that fundamentally, if the nikaf is megala that he likes something more expensive, that he can't get away with mekan and bezol. Their machlokas seems to be, is, well, how much of a nichole do you need? If I'm only doing it because it is nichole, it's nichole that it should be closed off. I'm being megala that for sure. But the fact that I put up the fourth wall, so is the fact that it's nichali that it should look better, is that part of what I have to pay for? So the Yad Ramah says that you could have put up the cheaper one. It's not going to look as good. Okay, so part of the nichali that you want it to look good. You wouldn't have done it. Okay, but the maisa, the nehenah that you are getting is for that, and you've shown that you're okay with it. And the Shita of Gubetzes is willing to delve in a little bit deeper and say, no, we have to look a little more carefully at the scenario and not just be mechayim. Exactly what the Nekuta Machlokes is, I don't have it well. Right? But I think they fundamentally, they both agree that if the nikab is megala is das on the more expensive one, I think they both agree, fundamentally, that you have to. The question is the fact that he builds the fourth wall to match, is that enough of a gila das or not? Meaning, does he have to sacrifice the aesthetic appearance of his field? Again, we're talking about a bitko, we're not talking about a chutzner. Does he have to sacrifice that in order not to be megala? The fact that he's going to gain, is that part of the chivrat? That seems to be the machlokas between the two. Again, what exactly they're arguing on, I can't say it so well exactly what that machlokas is about, but again, it's a fascinating point. But the more fundamental point I think they do agree on, which is that it's the nichusa of the nikaf, which is going to gal. Again, if it's all about hana'a, then it's going to be about what hana'a am I actually receiving. What that chiv is for the hana'a, so that we'll have to try and work through tomorrow.